Welcome to Women of the Future, where we will be looking at why it is so difficult for women to self-nurture. I have in the studio with me Sister Denise, who has been sharing her spiritual insights. And in this series, we trust that you will find an array of information and wisdom to empower yourself. Sister Denise, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Why is self-nurturing so hard for women? What is the difficulty, given the fact that women are programmed to nurture?
Yes, but women are programmed to nurture others. So all of that energy of nurturing is supposed to go to the children, to the family, to the husband, to the community, to the earth, to everything but the self. I think even some of the messages that are given to women, the messages that come from the culture, the media, or whatever, is that if you're nurturing yourself, there's something wrong with you. You're selfish, you see. And so it's quite hard for women to go against that message because it's been programmed so deeply from the outside. And so what we have to do with people who get burned out, who get emptied, is to convince them, to try to convince them that you must take care of yourself. You know, and people will say, oh, but, you know, I should be able to, you know. And no, it's not like that. First of all, take into yourself and then let it flow beyond you. But if you try to just be like a helper, women are so often put into the helping professions, nursing, school teacher, taking care of the elderly, taking care of children, all of this taking care is playing upon the natural sanskara of a woman to nurture. But as soon as she's too tired, or she feels depleted, they, instead of giving her time to restore herself, she will be given a kind of guilt-tripping message that what's wrong with you? You know, you should be able to do this, which the woman then internalizes and says, no, I should be able to. I shouldn't have to. There's something wrong with. I don't want to be selfish and take time for myself. So this is the legacy of the past, and the woman of the future must dispense with that legacy.
Now, Sister Denise, the one common objection one hears from women is, I do not have the time. Time is the best excuse that they use, because I'm the mother of three children, I have this job, I have a demanding husband, I have, so I do not have the time. My day starts at 5 a.m. I'm lucky if I go to bed by 11 p.m. And. What would you say to that? And in their minds, that excuse is a legitimate one.
I think probably they don't even think it's an excuse. They think, you know, this is the way a woman's life is. I think women really do not think that it's an excuse. They think it's a reality, and therefore you can't move it or shift it. I think women don't realize it's that they have accepted a message which says your life starts at 5 a.m. You'll be lucky if you go to sleep by 11 p.m. This is what makes you good, doing all this. And of course, we don't allow you to have any extra time. We will fill your time with all kinds of duties. And this is why a woman, you know, internalizes it and says, yes, I don't have time. And of course, nobody has time. You have to create time. And you create time by saying no.
Yeah, Sister Denise, I want to interrupt you right there. We touched on this in a previous episode, but it's more relevant in this one. How is it that so many women on the planet find it impossible to say no? I know one who cannot even articulate the word. She'll euphemize you know, can we, want to come out for coffee with me right now? I'm actually busy right now. I'll call you later. What she means is no. Yeah. Why is it that to articulate that monosyllable is so hard?
Well, to me, it's all part of the inculcation of morality into the girl child. You know, the girl child is told, if you say no, that is the worst sin that you could possibly do, because you have to be obedient, you have to be compliant, you have to say yes. People who say yes are good people. People who say no are bad people. You know, this is the indoctrination, you see, that's part of the culture, most cultures, you see. So for a woman to say no is to put herself outside the norm. It is to take the risk that everybody will think that I'm bad, and I know that it's right for me to say no, and I'm doing this unilaterally, I'm on my own, I have to face the wrath of others. And so it takes a huge amount of courage for a woman to say, no, I need time for myself. Because the immediate reaction is, what are you talking about? How dare you think that you have any rights at all to look after yourself? You see, and so this is a cultural thing. And so one woman by herself, you know, what she's up against is everybody else. And so I think one of the important things that has to happen is the idea of a woman saying, no, I need to take care of myself first, that has to be brought into the culture. And that's a lot of work. And I think something like a program like this, where we are openly saying, no, you have to be able to say no, you must say no when you need to say no, it's all right, there's nothing wrong with it. But what that also means is that we're all part of a challenge to the legacy of the past. Because the legacy of the past is sending the world, the society, the habitat to some sort of extinction. And do we really want to carry on in that direction? So somebody has to say, I think we better put the brakes on and take a different route.
Would you like to take us through what self-nurturing entails practically, not theoretically, practically? Because almost everyone watching you knows I should, you know, do this and this and this. It is a global phenomena for women to look after themselves externally, okay? And for many, it stops right there. If you think you look good in the mirror, then that's where the self-nurturing stops. But that's not what we mean by self-nurturing in this program, is it?
Well, I don't think that's looking after the self. I think you dress up for your husband, your boyfriend, whatever. Mm. You are not doing it for yourself.
Okay, so we're not talking about the internal. Take us through what it means to you to self-nurture. Let's start with the definition of self, because your take on, well, everything is totally different to what's out there. So define for us self, and define for us self-nurture.
Well, I think, of course, the self is a combination of the spirit and the body. So nurturing the self, or self-nurturing, has to do with nurturing the spirit and the body and keeping the balance of that. So a woman has a right to adequate sleep. A woman has a right to adequate food. But if she wants to take it, she's made to feel guilty, you see. And that is artificial, that is coming from the culture, is coming from the patriarchal culture. So a woman has to be prepared to say, I have rights. You know, very often I tell women, you know, have you read the Declaration of Human Rights? Of course, the answer is always no. When I was writing about empowerment of women, I included in that the Declaration of Human Rights, because women are humans. You know, very often people think that humans are just men and that they have rights, but women are not humans in terms of having rights. There are communities like that. So a woman has to know that she has rights, and that, you know, if somebody wants to get her married under the age of 18, that's a violation of her rights, international established rights. Because when somebody is very young, she can be coerced and forced and obliged because she's weak, she's inexperienced. And this is why people get women at that young age into duty, you see, which is a kind of slavery. A woman needs to be able to assert to herself, I have rights. I have a right to adequate sleep. I have a right to adequate food. I have a right to education. I have a right to my own thoughts. I have a right to my opinion. If I don't want to have another child, that's my right, you know. If I want to have a child, it cannot be forced upon me. It has to be by my agreement, you know. And if I have, you know, two or three children and I say that's enough, end of story, that's my right, you see. But these rights are taken away from women. If I want to dress comfortably, that's my right. If somebody says, no, you have to dress this way, this way, this way, which is causing a problem to the body, I have a right to say no. But at every step, the woman will be made to feel bad about it, will be made to feel that she is a bad woman to even express that she is tired, that she is uncomfortable, that she needs time out. All of these things are denied on the physical level. So you need to have your rights on the physical level. And if you don't want to do something, you have the right to say no. And when people come back at you, you have the right to defend yourself. But the problem is, she's on her own, and the other women around her are unlikely to support her because the patriarchal system will punish them very severely for supporting a woman who's trying to get her own rights, you see. And so keeping a woman busy so she never has any time to restore herself physically or spiritually is a way to prevent the woman from having enough energy, mental energy, to actually assert her rights. So how you change this means you have to continue to talk about it and bring this into the global debate, you know. Work to give women what they need always meets with tremendous resistance. So I think what we're doing here is just one more little bit to help women to get their due rights, what is due to them.
My concern for women who have not hitherto looked after themselves in the way you just described, which is very deep and very realistic way of approaching it, is that when she does start on this journey of self-nurture, she will experience a lot of grief and resistance from the external, but more specifically, the internal.
Yes.
You know, she will be plagued by feelings of guilt and shame and fear of disobedience and all of those things. How does she manage those feelings in light of what you just said?
Well, I think the best thing of all is when a woman you know, is so aware of her rights, so aware of her rights. You see, she'll have to lose respect for those who are ill-treating her. But those who ill-treat her are also forcing her through various psychological manipulations to connect the ill treatment, like those who ill treat have to be respected because they are this, that or the other, which doesn't actually prove or disprove anything. So the great difficulty for a woman is she has to be willing to be on her own. She has to be very, very strong. But there are women who are that strong and who cut the path. You know, these are pioneers who provide the examples, and then they show the way, and then other people can say, okay, I feel guilty because somebody made me feel guilty, not because I'm actually doing something wrong. So you have to really process these inner feelings, you know. Oh, I feel guilty because I exist. Excuse me. And there are many messages that come to women, oh, you're a mistake. You should have been a boy. You know, how come you messed up our family by being the firstborn, you know? You're bad. We didn't want you, you see. And so then you add the whole thing of rejection and neglect and so on. So it's really very difficult for a woman to come into her own with not only no external support, but external opposition. So internally, as soon as a woman starts to take power spiritually, she starts to be able to stand up for herself. And I think this is why the patriarchal system is dead against spirituality, because it empowers the person. Mm. And if a person is empowered, the external forces to keep a person down don't really work anymore. And so that destabilizes the social setup, which of course is something they don't really like. But the thing is, the social setup is filled with problems, and that has made it weak, which means that the women start to take power, spiritual power, and start to really represent themselves, take care of themselves, and in a sense become a force to be reckoned with. This then becomes an instrument to actually reset the social system, and I think it's ripe to be reset right now.
What does that mean?
Well, it's falling apart.
The world?
The infrastructure, the social infrastructure of the world is falling apart, and a sign of that is the condition of women. You see, but once women say, you know, we're not dependent on this setup, which is devastatingly harsh on us, we choose on a mental and spiritual and heart level to operate by different rules. That means that the existing system is further weakened, you see, because when something is not needed, it can't stay. And when something is consciously forgotten, let go of, we don't need this anymore, it disappears because of not being needed.
Okay. Now, Sister Denise, you touched on this briefly, but I'd like you to take us deeper into it. How does one's relationship with God relate to self-nurturing? Is there a link, and if so, how?
Yeah, there's definitely a link, because one's relationship with God, God is the provider. God is the source of everything that is missing in a person. I mean, the essential qualities of a human soul: purity, peace, power, love, bliss. These are energies, these are commodities that you have to have to the fullest extent in order to operate in a good way. So when a woman connects with God, all of these areas which are running on empty get filled. Once you are full of love, full of peace, full of power, full of bliss, You're not dependent on the material world. Your dependency goes to your source, and then you are out of range, you know. And this is a tremendous catalyst for change. But it's invisible. You know, a woman who's in her own power, you can't kind of cut off the source because you don't know where to put the scissors. It's invisible, you see. So it destabilizes the existing system, which makes people very afraid. So there's a lot of reaction, and this is why it takes time to actually set up. And I think sometimes women have found it's relevant to do this in a very discreet way. Mm. So you don't change anything except how you feel about yourself. You know, a person who no longer feels guilty, there's a different vibration. Yeah. You know, that if you are unable to make a person feel guilty about doing something which is not wrong, you lose control over that person. Mm. And that is on a vibrational level, you see. So, of course, there'll be a lot of reaction, but, you know, I suppose the destiny of humanity is that we are in times of change, and we are in a time that is resetting the balance between males and females, the masculine and the feminine energy, and it's also resetting the relationship between humans and God, humans and the earth, because it has gone to the extreme of dysfunctionality, and now the pendulum is swinging the other way, whether anybody likes it or not, you know?
Mm. Mm. Sister Denise, there are many women watching you right now from every corner of the planet who feel invisible, who feel like nothing, who feel like someone's appendage, who feel totally valueless, whose only sense of self is their connection to something or someone. Okay? That's not even a question of self-nurturing. That's a question of the entirety of my existence is dependent on someone else. What is your message for such a person?
Well, again, we go back to the social system, which says that a girl is an object that's the property of her father until he donates or sells her to a husband who can do what he wants with her because she's an object. And then when he dies, and if she's still alive, she becomes the property of her son who can do what he wants. And so the problem is of the dehumanization of women. Women have been made into sexual objects to be used as anybody feels fit. And it's a deep spiritual problem. And what I feel a very important concept which can redress that is a bit shocking, but that is the concept of reincarnation. That every man in his previous birth was a woman, and in his next birth will be a woman. And every woman in her previous birth was a man, and in her next birth will be a man. So, you know, we have to really rethink our relationship with each other, that men and women are much closer than the social system would have us believe, you know. The social system thinks that the man's soul is a male soul, and the woman's soul, if she's allowed to have one, is a female soul, and that they have no idea about this alternating system of rebirth. There's a brand new concept which changes everything.
Sure. Yes, I think the world could do with that dose of transformation. So thank you for that. So there you have it, self-nurturing, what it is, what it's not. And I think that which sat the deepest with me today is that it's mandatory, it's not optional. I think that's the deepest message shared by Sister Denise, because so many of us are guilty of self-neglect, and that is a price that only we will end up paying, because on that level, on the level that Sister Denise was sharing, this is not something that one can delegate. It's something that you have to do for yourself, by yourself. So very, very powerful message on an aspect of spirituality that you've not necessarily applied your mind to before. I do hope that this has a very deep impact on your life, what it means to look after yourself, not just the external, but very importantly, to look after that which is on the inside of yourself. So thank you, Sister Denise. Very, very profound message. And I hope that today's message was able to reach your heart and improve the quality of your life. Take care, and I hope to see you soon. Goodbye.